Pastor Andre Cook presents this powerful, life-changing message to encourage, inspire, and provoke you to walk into your destiny. Now receive this word of change from the prophet, Andre Cook.
We'll talk to you tonight from the subject, total commitment. Total commitment. Touch your neighbor and say, what we need more today is a level of commitment. What we need today in the church is the component of our faith that gives us the stick to it. No matter what, and that in the principle, or rather is the principle of commitment. It's good to believe God, but where are you today in commitment to God and your service to the Lord? To really commit to the Lord, we must first understand what the word commitment means. First, let's look at the term total. Total is defined as absolute, complete, full, unrestricted, all out, entire, whole, total. Again, our subject tonight is total commitment. Absolute commitment. Complete commitment. Full commitment. Unrestricted commitment. All out commitment. Full commitment. Entire commitment. Whole commitment. Total commitment. Let's look now at the word commitment, a declaration that one will or won't do something. Promise, agreement, assurance, compact, contract, covenant, deal, guarantee, oath. So when I'm speaking tonight from the subject total commitment, you can also say absolute covenant, absolute guarantee, absolute declaration of what I will and will not do. It's an oath, a pledge. A pledge is defined as undertaking to full, or rather to fulfill, an agreement. It's guarantee, assurance, surety, word of honor. A declaration that one will or will not do something. It's a promise, an agreement, an assurance, bargain, compact, contract, covenant, guaranteed. This is what an oath, or the term oath, means. Again, what's needed is the component of our faith that gives us the stick-to-itness. No matter what, no matter who, I live by the principle of commitment. Often we say we believe God, but touch your neighbor and say, that's not enough. Where is your service to God? Luke chapter number 9, again verse 57, and it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Again, and they were walking, the New Living Translation says, as they were walking along, someone said to Jesus, I will follow you no matter where you go. This particular individual is described as a scribe, according to Matthew 8, verse 19, one of an almost hopeless class to reach the particular time of Jesus due to the fact of their position and their close ties with the rulers of Israel. To this gripe, Jesus responds in verse 58. Are you with me? Foxes have holes. Birds of the air have nests. But the Son of Man have not where to lay his head. Or, for the sake of clarity, foxes have dens to live in. Birds have nests. But I, the Son of Man, have no home of my own, not even a place to lay my head. Have not where to lay his head. The full meaning can only be grasped when we realize that one of the three members of the Godhead who created all things was now reduced by his own choice for man's sake to that of the lowest of creation. Because of what a scribe saw Jesus do, he desired to follow Jesus. Jesus in turn reveals the cost of following. Nudge your neighbor and say, there's a cost of following. Which in this case, he says, will present you with discomforts in service. In some case, others will have and you won't. Let me say that again. Jesus is saying emphatically to this scribe who is accustomed to hobnobbing, accustomed to the finest of the hour. Jesus says to him, this is what he's saying. He is saying, if you're going to follow me, it is possible that the cost of your following is going to be discomfort. And in some case, you might not have what others have. I pose the question before I move on to my second observation. Does this lack of potential supply change your mind when it comes to following? We live in a very dangerous hour because mingled with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and his death, his burial, his resurrection for the redemption of fallen humanity is this gospel of prosperity that promises that all of the disciples of Christ will be men and women of possessions. I'm not here to suggest by any means that you should not pursue the best and the finest, but I am submitting to you that the acquisition of the abundance of things does not validate your service to God. It's dangerous, actually, to amass a lot of things, because the more you amass, the more it requires to maintain what you have.